Let's Talk Letts, an original podcast from the Lettings Hub.
Hello, and welcome to the latest episode of our podcast, Let's Talk Letts. I'm Heidi, the CEO of the Lettings Hub, the tenant referencing business that got good at tech. And Let's Talk Letts, hopefully you know by now, is our regular roundup of news and views on a whole range of subjects spanning the private rented sector. In today's podcast, it is the latest in our new regular feature where we explore more about somebody's personal career stories across the lettings arena, their journey and the moments in their lives and careers that have been the most impactful and taught them some important life lessons. For our next My Life in Lettings themed episode of Let's Talk Let, I'm absolutely delighted to be joined by Paul Sloan, who is definitely an industry legend. Paul has 35 years of experience, which spans his time at Countrywide, Spice the Heart, Keller Williams, and most recently as a director of Move Lettings. So let me get started. Paul, thank you so much for joining me today. Please introduce yourself to our listeners and tell us a little bit more about you.
Thank you, Heidi. You're very welcome. I'm delighted to be here. Thank you for inviting me. So it's a long journey, so I hope you've got a bit of time. I started out in the industry in 1998. Heidi, you probably weren't even born then.
I was leaving school. So we're not that much different, really.
Okay. Well, you're wearing better than me then. So 1988 is when I started, and I started in financial services. I was for 16 years of my career, the first 16 years, known as an FS guy, not as a lettings guy at all. So I started in Countrywide and worked my way through the ranks. I loved it. I loved what I did. I loved the client interaction. I loved the teamwork involved. I loved helping people move into their new homes. And I had a fantastic time of it as a mortgage advisor, trainee mortgage advisor, and working my way up through the ranks to ultimately financial services director 16 years later.
So what a start to the career then, really, in terms of seeing something over 16 years from the bottom to the top. That has got to be a pretty big achievement in itself.
Maybe I just stuck at it. And I saw my competition leave for a little bit more money here or a slightly better company car there. And I just stuck at it. And because I was around and I knew the business and I had a decent amount of success, I just went up through the ranks. And part of it was ability. A lot of it was I was just loyal. And I just stuck with that company, and I absolutely loved it. But I would say that it stood me in very good stead later on in my career that I joined at the ground level, that I'd actually done the job. And you can talk to people that are starting out in the industry, whether it's financial services, estate agency, or lettings. If you've actually done the job, you have a lot more credibility and you understand what they're going through, because fundamentally the job hasn't changed that much.
Yeah.
The way we do the job has changed enormously, but the fundamentals of getting on with people and helping them to achieve a very important thing in their lives, that hasn't changed.
So did you have a desire to be involved in property, you know, whether it be for financial services or obviously transitioning to lettings, or did you kind of end up in the industry by accident and then grew to love it?
Totally that. I ended up in the industry because a really good mate of mine said, Paul, I think you'd be really good at this. You wouldn't need to be very good to be better than the competition, because most of the competition that I see aren't very good. You wouldn't need to be very good, but I think you would be all right, you know. Yeah. And that's about as big of a compliment as I was ever going to get from him. So I had my first interview. I remember it clearly. It was in Canterbury in a pub. And I went to meet this guy the regional director at the time, who was a bit of a drinker, obviously, and he said, look, I recruit people by seeing whether I get on with them and have a drink with them and see if I like them or not as a person. And I thought, this is very strange. And I'm not necessarily recommending that as a professional way forward, but that's how I started. I got, I had about 15 minutes in a pub chatting to this bloke, and he said, I think you'd be perfect. Start next week.
Yeah. And 16 years later, he was not wrong. Clearly, obviously, one of the things is what you've just described there is people don't necessarily stick in roles for as long anymore. You know, we see that in our business sometimes, and sometimes the, you know, resilience and loyalty are missing. How have you kind of found that maybe over your career? And is it one thing that kind of is one of your core values still now, or have you kind of changed over time?
No, I haven't changed at all, Heidi. I've worked for three organizations in my 37 years now. I started with Countrywide and I was there 22 years. I then went to Spicer Heart and I was there just over 10. And I've been with Move ever since. I don't flit around. I'm a loyal guy and I stick at things. And I think that brings its own rewards. Loyalty is a funny thing, isn't it? Because actually loyalty needs to run both ways. And you can be incredibly loyal to an organisation, but if you as an individual don't feel that that organisation are giving you that same level of loyalty back, that's where relationships don't work quite so well. But yeah. I do agree that people, I think, move around too much. I think sometimes people would be better off getting really, really good at something and understanding an organisation and influencing it from the inside rather than saying, well, I don't like that anymore, I'm off.
Yeah, I understand. And I agree. I'm personally actually very similar. I've only had three jobs and I quite like that way. I also agree with you about learning it from the ground up, because there's always decisions that you have to make, isn't there, along the journey at a senior level. And you've got to kind of really always think back to, how is it going to affect really the business and the people that are kind of doing the job day to day? So obviously you mentioned you were at Countrywide for 22 years, I think you just said. What made you then make the move and where did you go next? So you mentioned Spicer Heart. So tell us about that transition and your role there.
Yeah, sure. I was 16 years of that 22 in financial services. Then I got into estate agency and I eventually ended up as a subsidiary managing director, which sounds very grand, isn't quite as grand as that. But I really enjoyed my time there, went through some really tricky, challenging times. But again, did really well. I have to say I was inspired by my previous managing director. I won't mention his name and you'll understand why in a minute, because he said, Paul, I understand that you've applied for a position in Sussex. And I said, I have. And he said, what's the thinking behind that? And I said, well, it's another step up the ladder and I think I'd really enjoy the job and I think I'd be really good at it. And he said, well, let me tell you, you won't succeed. I said, oh, right. OK. He said, well, it's a village market and you're never, ever going to be able to compete with subsidiaries that have much larger towns in their makeup. You look at places like Storrington and Stenning and Goring and little villages in West Sussex was our market. And I thought, sod you.
You're wrong.
You're wrong. Because I think if you've got the right people and you've got the right customer care ethic, you can make anything work. So that made it more likely that I was going to go for that job rather than less likely. As soon as he said, you can't do it, I thought, well, I'm going to prove you wrong. Yeah. So I did spend a bit of time as an estate agency, ended up as a managing director. Like I say, says it sounds grand, isn't that grand. But I really, really enjoyed it. But I always, the thing I enjoyed about it was working with brilliant people. I just love the team ethic. I've always, I'm really into sport, and maybe we'll get on onto that later. And mostly it's team sports. I've played rugby and cricket and football, and I love the team atmosphere, and that's what I loved about our team. We created a really close team, but you know, you need to be a big boy or girl in life, particularly in professional life, and sometimes things come to an end, and that came to an end after a tricky economic time, and it was time for me to move on. And at that point, a previous managing director of Countrywide had joined Spicer Hart as the MD of Lettings, and said, "I desperately need an operations director. Will you come and do it with me?" And I liked him as an individual then. I like him as an individual now. He's a very close friend of mine, and I worked with him for 10 very happy years.
I was going to say, it's hard, isn't it? If you've been in the business for so long, to decide to make the move's a big thing, but sometimes it's absolutely the right thing. Yes. And actually, I think sometimes it's when you do that, that you realise how many skills you have and how like transferable they are and how useful they are to other people.
And every time that's happened in my career, and this is, if I could pass on to someone much younger than myself, don't worry too much or fret about things perhaps not going particularly well in your career over a period of time, because if they come to a bit of a painful end, then there is something better around the corner. And I've always believed that, and that has absolutely happened for me. So the transition that I made into Lettings was amazing, because I loved it. I loved the fast-paced nature of it. I realized that actually, if you sell mortgages or you sell houses, you're in other people's control. So you're in the control of the conveyancer, you're in control of the buyers and the sellers, who at a whim can destroy all the hard work that you've done by saying, "Actually, I don't think we want to move anymore." And that could be 6 months of work that you've put into that situation for absolutely nothing. Lettings isn't like that. Lettings is so fast paced. Yes, we get fall throughs in lettings, but they happen after a day or two, not after a month or four. So I love the fast paced nature of lettings. I love the challenge of learning a new trade. I'd studied for and passed my four ALA technical award papers in my first month of joining Spicer Hart because I wanted to learn. I really wanted, if I was going to be the operations director of a lettings business, I needed to understand it, and I needed to know something about the law and the way lettings worked. And I thought, I just need to get my head down and get this really quickly and start understanding and talking to a lot of people. Excellent. I was very lucky. I had a lot of people around me, and I've had a lot of people around me all my career, really. I'm almost like guardian angels. But I took Spicer Hart into an organisation called Safe Agent, who were a campaign group back in the day. They were a campaign group built of lots of industry leaders from different companies that wouldn't normally cooperate or even talk to each other. But they were there because they fundamentally believed that client money protection should be mandatory. I thought it was amazing. I thought it was a fabulous thing to be involved with, because A, it was a chance to meet peers and colleagues from around the industry on a regular basis and share notes with them. B, actually, it was the industry getting together to do some good.
And yeah, do the right thing. Yeah, absolutely.
I thought that was right. That was the right thing to do. So I was lucky, and I always had someone on the other end of a phone to say, "Listen, I'm going to get myself in an embarrassing situation if I'm not careful, because I don't know the answer to this question. Can you help me?" And there's always someone out there that will help you.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's carry on with your career, and then I'm going to come back and talk about people, because you mentioned people and team so much, and I know we work in a people industry, but it's clearly something that's close to your heart. So 10 years at Spice to Heart, that then came to an end. What happened then, and where did you go next?
Life happens. I don't have a bad word to say about any of the organisations that I've worked with. I have huge gratitude for all the help that they've given me over my career and the success that we've had together. It came to an end, and once again, fortunately, something better's come along, and that keeps happening, and it keeps happening. I think because with a combination of a positive mental attitude and hard work, good things happen to decent people.
Absolutely. Good things happen to great people. I agree. So tell us where you are now and how you spend your time.
Well, I'm a director of Move Lettings. I run that business with a very talented guy called Jamie Brind, who I met 3.5 years ago now. He's a very committed, passionate guy. He's much younger than me. He's 30 years younger than me. So he's got plenty of energy, and he's got a vision for where he wants to take our company. And I'm there fundamentally now to support him in what he wants to do, and to try and give him a bit of a benefit of my experience, if not wisdom, certainly experience, and guide him along the way. But to be honest with you, he's that talented that I don't think that he will be calling on my help for very much longer. I think he'll be saying, "Paul, thanks very much for all you've done, but let me get on with it now, will you?" And I'll be happy to do that.
So let's go back then to people, because let's talk about some of the greatest people that you've worked with, and why they resonate still with you now. That could be people that you've had as managers or people to kind of look up to, but also people that have really inspired you to be a good manager and a good leader, a good director, and people that you've kind of helped along the way.
Yeah, I guess the constant in my more recent times, certainly throughout Spice to Heart and Move, is a guy called Andrew Benn, who is a very close personal friend of mine, and also a business mentor. Andrew is an extremely talented guy. If you want systems and processes and structure and organisation in your business, I don't think there is a better guy than Andrew. And I've relied on him very heavily throughout my time with him at Spice to Heart. I found him very supportive, very encouraging. We worked together on a number of projects, and it was A, rewarding because we had some success, and B, fun. He comes from a place where actually believes that coming to work every day should be fun, and should spend some time every day laughing. And yeah, that's what we try and do.
Excellent. And what about kind of the people or someone that you're most proud to have mentored yourself or helped along the way as well? Who stands out in your mind?
Caroline Vaughan was, and as far as I know, still is, the top mortgage advisor in Countrywide. And what she taught me was that it doesn't matter where you're based geographically. It really doesn't. And I spent ages in my career listening to people saying, "Well, of course you can't do that here, and the market is different here, and you can do that there, but you can't do that here." And Caroline taught me you can do it anywhere.
I think as well, it's interesting that you talk about her, because obviously you met her so early on in your career. And I think at that time, we're easily influenced, aren't we, in terms of, you know, getting inspired, or, you know, having, you know, learning that we've got aspirations to be like people that are around us at that point, which I think is really important for some of our listeners who are starting out in their careers, because there's always people around them that they can learn from and really work out what they want to take from people in terms of how they want to do things for their career going forward, and then also learn what not to do. I think we've all worked with people that we've learned a lot from, but we learn as much not what to do as what to do.
Absolutely right. Yeah. The second young lady that I did a lot of work with, particularly when I joined Spicer Heart, who taught me a huge amount about lettings. She's an incredibly bright girl. She was called Amy Gill at the time, and she's since married, so she's not called Amy Gill anymore. But she was a fantastic, she was a real tour de force. And there wasn't anything technical about lettings that she didn't know and understand. And her work ethic was unbelievable. I remember transferring our property management operation into our Colchester head office, which was at the time transferring about 9,500 units from various remote locations, property management locations throughout the country, into one place. And that's a really, really challenging logistical thing to do. And I remember still being in Colchester at 10 o'clock at night with just me and Amy in the building, and still working away on this project. And her commitment to it was inspiring. And yeah, I'll always be grateful for that, for the time that we had together. It was good.
And I think as well, like, you've mentioned a few things to me that totally resonate, like, you know, from back to your first interview in the pub, to then, you know, making sure that you have fun along the way, to how important teamwork is and how important that you actually get to know people. Like, how culturally have you kind of led the businesses and the teams that you've been in along the way? What mistakes have you made? What's been your kind of highest moment with your people?
I think my mistakes probably center on recruitment. And I would say that I think the only recruiter that's never made a mistake is the recruiter that's never done any recruitment, because it's an inexact science. And what I've learned is, I don't know if you've heard of the three H's: humility, hunger, and honesty. So what I look for when I'm recruiting people now and deciding whether I want to work with them or not is, are they humble enough to want to learn? Are they coming in telling me that they know it all already and that I don't need to teach them anything? Or are they humble enough to say, actually, I've got loads to learn and I'm really keen on learning some more? So humility, hunger, it's an obvious one, isn't it? You want someone that wants to work hard and get on and do well and achieve things in their careers. And that's the hunger bit. So honesty, again, fairly straightforward. You want to work with honest people. You want to work with people that are not going to tell you what they think you want them to hear, but actually what the truth is, and to give you their honest opinion. And that's who I want to work with. I don't want to work with people that just go, oh yeah, Paul, that sounds great, if they don't actually believe it sounds great. So those are the three H's that I now try to recruit by. And I try to look for evidence of all three of those H's before I'll hire someone or decide to work with them. So that's changed. And I've learned that reasonably recently, sort of last 7 or 8 years or so. And since I tried recruiting people that I knew something about, I knew about their background, I didn't just know about them professionally, I knew about their home life and I knew a bit about them as a person as well, everything changed. And and that probably explains why we've had in the last 2.5 years no turnover at all of in our team. We've only got a fairly small team of 7, but there is no staff turnover, I'm delighted to say, because I love working with them all, and I don't want them to be, I certainly don't want them to be thinking about doing anything else.
Yeah, I think recruitment is such a big opportunity and it's exciting, but it's also feels like such a big decision sometimes. So having kind of a mental checklist to try and work it out. We've recently done recruitment evenings, and just sitting and talking to people, I have no idea what their CV says. I actually have no idea what role they really want to do or what they've applied for. We just invite them along to kind of try and find out a bit about the business and get to know us and our personality, and also for them to feel like they can ask questions and decide whether they really want to join us. Because obviously going through that process maybe isn't the most enjoyable for people, where you're meeting different companies and not always getting feedback. But it's so interesting just to sit, and you can pretty much gauge and work out people just from that interaction of standing up and presenting to them for half an hour, letting them ask questions. And you can work out really from there which types of people you want in your organisation so early on. So going back to that first pub conversation you had, that guy, he might not have been too far off in terms of actually what he was looking for, because it obviously worked for him.
Obviously did.
It did.
And also, loyalty, we've talked about loyalty earlier on today, didn't we? And if you have a system of interviewing that is evidence-based, so if loyalty is important to you, then look for evidence of loyalty in that person's life. And you'll find it. And all you have to do is ask the very simple question, can you demonstrate that you're a loyal individual? What can you give me from your past that demonstrates that you're a loyal person? And, you know, it would be easy for you to do that and easy for me to do that. Is it easy for the person, the candidate that you're interviewing, to do that?
Yeah. So if you kind of could relive everything again, what would be the one thing that you either wish you knew earlier on that would have maybe helped, or the one thing that you would have changed?
I wished I'd had a bit more confidence that things would be okay, because it would have saved me a bit of heartache. And I see that with the agents that we work with a lot. They get quite anxious that if you're a self-employed independent estate agent, you don't have a salary to look forward to at the end of each month. You live on what the business that you transact. And if things aren't quite working the way that you'd like them to, maybe that's market influenced, or maybe there's other factors in play, people can get quite anxious. And I've been anxious in my career and thought, actually, things aren't going the way that I want them to, and then we're not being as successful with this particular project or in this particular year as I'd like to be. I wish I'd known what I know now, which is, Paul, it'll be all right.
Everything will be all right.
If your principles are the same, your principles of customer care and teamwork and looking after people, and you work hard every day and do your best every day to live to those principles, it will be all right.
Yeah, I think we've all had moments, haven't we? I remember I was made redundant from my first job, because again, it was an economic situation for them, and I'd been there 7.5 years. And up until that point, I'd never thought that I would leave. It literally hadn't crossed my mind that it would not be that way for a very long time. And it kind of totally knocked me sideways at the time, when I was just bought my first house, funnily enough. And back then I had a car loan. You know, it was one of those scenarios thinking, oh, crikey, this wasn't a good idea. But actually it worked out perfectly fine and better. And, you know, when people are in that situation now, I really just want to tell them, but you just wish you knew, didn't you? Like, fast forward, and I wish you could look back. Okay, so just a few more questions then, because I know we're going to run out of time, which has been so interesting listening. But lettings must have changed hugely. You must have seen so much change over the years. What's the most notable things, and what do you think will continue to change?
Well, yes, Heidi, and you know better than most how much it has changed, and yet it's hardly changed at all. So the legislation changes, and what we're required to do changes, and how we're required to work with our customers changes. Tenant fee ban was massive, wasn't it?
But yeah, it really was.
There are and have been some huge changes, and there'll be some more changes ahead. But in other ways, it's hardly changed at all. in that this job is still all about helping people move into their new homes. And it's about respecting the fact that it's a really big decision for them, and it's a really important process for both landlord and tenant, and making that as an enjoyable experience as you possibly can. And that's not changed. That's always been the case.
Yeah.
It's about having great suppliers, because you can't do this job alone. You need suppliers that are going to deliver, as you know, great referencing and rent guarantee and all the products that go alongside. You need great contractors that are going to provide you with good, high quality inventories and checkouts. It doesn't end. You need to surround yourself with great people in your team, but you also need to surround yourself with great suppliers too.
Yeah. And I think, like we said earlier, this is most definitely a people industry, and having brilliant people around you is what makes your career, really, isn't it? It is kind of what makes the memories and makes the journey so much more enjoyable. But I guess there's always people around us in our home life too that kind of support that career and support the journey. So tell us a little bit about what Paul's like behind closed doors, maybe.
Honestly, I'm the same guy as I am at work. I'm sure my long-suffering wife would tell you that, you know, I have quiet moments where I don't really want to talk to anybody or do very much, and I have livelier moments where I'm jumping up and down and excited about things and like a small child. But she's been there for me through all the ups and all the downs, and is an incredible influence on my life, because she's just so even and supportive. And I remember having a discussion with her when I said I'd like to apply for a job in a different county, and I was kind of expecting her to say, "Well, Paul, that's not going to work, is it? Because all our friends and family are in Kent, and our house is in Kent, and our life is in Kent, and the sports clubs that we're members of are all in Kent. That's moving to West Sussex. That's not really going to work, is it?" But she didn't say that at all. She said, "Is it what you want to do?" I said, "Yeah, I really want to do it." She said, "I've always dreamed about living in West Sussex." And I thought, how can you, you can't. I'm so lucky, Heidi. I'm lucky in my career. I'm lucky in the people that have decided that I'm a decent guy to work with. I'm lucky in my home life. I've been married to Angela now for, crikey, I'm going to get this wrong, 87. So what does that make it? 36 years, 37 years, something like that?
Yeah.
Wow. A long time. So I'm incredibly lucky.
Amazing. Right. I think, I imagine, if well, we never do this, but I imagine if we ask some of the people that you'd work with along your career, I think they would feel very lucky too. And I'm sure Angela does in equal measure. That's been really inspiring. And I think, you know, going back to the three H's, I think you have those in bucket loads. And I'm sure that all the people that get to work with you or work for you very much would kind of resonate with that as they're thinking about it. So thank you very much for a fabulous session. But before you go, all of our regular listeners of Let's Talk Let's should know that we always try and end every podcast with a funny story or anecdote. And we don't seem to have been short of these in the lettings arena, because there always seems to be a little bit of adventure or misfortune. So what do you have for us, Paul?
This is a really tricky one. I've been thinking about this and thinking, I can't tell you most of the funny stories that immediately spring to mind, because this probably will go out before the watershed, and it's just, I can't do it. So, but I do have a funny one, and it goes right back to my Countrywide days. A guy called Matt Begley, who was then an extremely talented mortgage advisor, and now runs his own financial services business in Cornwall. He's an incredibly successful guy, and a really good guy. We've been close friends from almost the day we met. Anyway, I recruited him as a mortgage advisor, and it was his first day at work. And I met him at the office and said, Matt, time we picked up your company car. So back in those days in Countrywide, if you were a new mortgage advisor, you got a brand spanking new Ford Orion.
Wow.
So I know.
Wow. And that was quite a big car, wasn't it, a Ford Orion?
It was, yeah. It was just a little bit bigger than an Escort, wasn't
it? That's it, yeah. I remember them.
Anyway, that's what you got back in the day in Countrywide. And Matt was clearly excited about going to pick up his new car. So I thought, we're not going to get very much work done until he's picked up his car, because that way he can be happy and we can focus on the rest of the day. So we jumped in my car and went off down to the Ford dealership. Matt jumped out of the car and got handed the keys of his bright, shiny new red Orion. Everyone had red. It wasn't a colour choice. You had a red Orion. So he picked up his red Orion and I said, right, OK, let's drive back to the office and then we can get some work done. So I pulled out of the lot of the car park that we'd parked in and drove down the road, and someone pulled out in front of me and I had to brake. Sadly, Matt didn't brake.
Oh, no.
And ploughed straight into the back of me. And poor lad was absolutely beside himself. He thought, A, that was the end of his career before it even started, because I'm going to fire him instantly. Of course, I didn't fire him. It was an accident. No one got hurt. It's one of those things. And like I say, he turned out to be an incredibly successful mortgage advisor for me in my team. I love working with him, and he is now my financial advisor in a different life. And I went down to Cornwall because my mum still lives in Cornwall. I went down to Cornwall a week or so ago over Easter and met up with Matt and had a couple of beers with him. He's a really good guy, but we never meet up without him bringing up that again.
Well, you can just imagine, can't you? New job, brand new car, instantly happening. God, the poor guy, I feel mortified for him. But hey.
Nervous, excited, everything there. All of a sudden, it all flashed. He thought he'd lost the lot. Bless him.
And that's the thing. That's one of those, isn't it? Like, you know, I bet he wish he knew then what he knew now, in the fact that everything would be all right. Everything would be all right in the end. Yeah. So for our listeners, to ensure you never miss an episode of Let's Talk Let's, please follow us on Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcast. Please leave us a review if you like what you hear. And thank you to Paul, and thank you all very much for listening.
Let's Talk Let's, an original podcast from the Lettings Hub.